In this final episode of A Ukrainian Jewish Century, we turn to Lilia Finberg. Born in 1926, she was interviewed in her home by Tatiana Chaika in 2001. And we include her story because in this case, we can sense the arc of how history moved in the second half of the 20th century for Lilia, for her family, and for Jews in Ukraine. This episode is read for us by Jan Goodman in London.
While we were in evacuation in Udmurtia, over 2,000 kilometers from Kiev, we knew little about the course of the war. We had no idea what the Germans did to the Jews. We didn't get a single letter from my father from the front. We learned about his death somewhere in Austria, only after the war. In the fall of 1943, after Kiev was liberated, we returned home. It was not so simple. We had to have a special invitation. I remember Kreshchatyk Street being levelled. There was only a narrow board on which two men could hardly walk together. The rest was broken glass and bricks. I was 17, and before the war, I finished 8 grades. During the evacuation, I had no chance to study, and after evacuation, I couldn't study because I had to earn my living. I went to work at a trust company, and then while I was working, I studied and got a bookkeeper's diploma. For more than 40 years, until I retired, I worked as a bookkeeper. In general, people did not like talking about the tragedy of the Jewish people in the first decade after the war. Words like Babi Yar could only be whispered. If I remember correctly, I think officials were planning to build a stadium there. The citizens of Kiev hated the Germans. I remember how they were hanged on Kreshchatyk Street in the beginning of 1944. But their love for the Jews was not great either. I can't comprehend this. After the tragedy in Babi Yar, the attitude toward Jews in Kiev was much worse than before it. Well, this became especially obvious during the period of the doctor's trial. It seemed that traditional anti-Semitism was supported by anti-Semitism from above. People simply would not go to Jewish doctors who worked in Kiev. However, it was not always the case. My sister, Beba, who was an ophthalmologist by that time, and her husband, who was a surgeon, worked successfully in the village of Irpen outside Kiev. I also did not feel this attitude personally. In the first years after the war, a very nice family lived nearby. Mrs. Finberg was a lovely woman and we got along well. One day she introduced me to her son, Kushel Pinkosovich Finberg. He was older than me and worked as a master at a factory where he certainly could not be called Kushel amongst all the goyim. There he was Kolya Nikolai Pavlovich. Unlike in pre-war times, we tried to change our names to Russian ones. Gradually, these Russian names erased our real names, even at home. But it's nice that they've now returned to us in our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We had no wedding ceremony. We were too poor. We lived in one of the 2 10-meter rooms with no doors. With my marriage, my life began to fill with Jewish traditions and Jewish religion again. Thanks to my mother-in-law, keeping the main rituals and attending synagogue became a normal thing for us. My childhood and adolescence during the war might have been spent in a Jewish environment, but it was all very assimilated. The war and the Holocaust radically changed my mind. I had a feeling of irreplaceable loss, and I was drawn to my roots, to God. I began to fear to break his commandments. When Leonia went to the second grade, I returned to my old job. Since he was 8, my son grew up almost independently. Since the 1970s, Jews began to leave the Soviet Union for Israel. Our family decided we did not want to leave. The United States was too far and unrealistic, and we couldn't even think of moving to Germany. In 1983, I lost my husband. It was a terrible thing for me, and I remained on this earth with only one half of myself. However, my son's family had grown by that time. My son and his wife, Lena, gave me 2 grandchildren, a girl and a boy, and now all of them are taking care of me, while I'm doing my best to help them at home. In the 1990s, Ukraine became independent. By that time, I had long since retired. However, my pension was inadequate, considering the 40 years I'd worked. But I live with my children, while lonely pensioners immediately turned absolutely poor. I feel so bad for them. At the same time, in the past 8 to 10 years, Jewish life entered our house with the confident walk of my granddaughter. It is nice to see the blooming of the Jewish life in Ukraine. I'm proud that my son plays a great role in this. Over the past 15 years, I do my best to go to Babi Yar every year. It has finally become a civilized place of honoring our tragedy. Flowers at the menorah memorial at Babi Yar and Kaddish have become part and parcel of my life today. I would like to live long enough to see the weddings of my grandchildren and the birth of my great-grandchildren. I hope that wherever they live, they would be happy. I am very much afraid of war. I have a great hope for peace.
Lilia Finberg didn't live long enough to attend those weddings, nor was she alive to see Ukrainians elect a Jewish president, Volodymyr Zelensky, in 2019. Which means Lilia was not with us when Ukrainians went to war to defend their country in February 2022. But I don't think Lilia would have been surprised to know that almost her entire family threw themselves into helping the war effort. Her grandson arranged evacuations by bus from Kyiv to the west of the country, and her son Leonid, then in his mid-70s, continued to teach, to publish, and to advocate for Ukraine.